Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Let's pray. Dear Lord, may I not speak from myself or for myself, but from you and for your glory. May I speak with your wisdom and truth, and not with the world's wisdom and truth. I pray that you will open our eyes and hearts to what you want us to learn today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm glad that y'all are here today. I was kind of worried that everybody came last Sunday and they weren't going to come back. So anyway, hey, hi, I'm glad you're here. We are coming off a big week. Last Sunday, we did have our celebration of Charles Broome's last Sunday of his ministry and into retirement, which for Charles means going on to the next job that he's going to have. It was a wonderful day. And annual conference was this past week. So I want to talk about some highlights from that before we get started. One is that Charles's retirement was officially approved. So that's great. I told him this morning that when he shared that with me, that that was convenient as we had already thrown him a retirement party. So that worked out for the best. There was also a service of ordination where new pastors were ordained. There was a reading, I think it was yesterday, of the appointments. So Dana Everhart, our new pastor, was officially read out as being appointed to Kingswood. So lots going on at conference and in the life of the church right now. If you want details, we did have two people at conference. So Mary Beth Jeffrey, who's our lay delegate to conference, and Cameron Nadler, who doesn't really have a title, so I'm calling her future lay leader and my onstage and in my heart daughter. So feel free to chat with either of them if you want more details about what all went on. We also, this past week, Jessica did lead a wonderful vacation Bible school with a camping theme. You can see we're feeling outdoorsy, right? So it was campfire light. I got to fill in the day Cameron went to conference. I got to fill in for her and had a really great conversation with a firefly about being afraid of storms. Now, to be clear, I was afraid of storms, and the firefly was making me feel better about it, right? So that's how things go in Vacation Bible School. But it got me thinking. It got me thinking about VBS and about like how just that 1 week in the summer can have such an impact on our lives. So how many of you attended VBS when you were a kid? Yeah, me too. Think about your memories of that time. I used to attend VBS down here at my grandmother's church. My mom's mother, Totsi, you may have heard me talk about her before. Totsi was an amazing woman, and it's funny the things you remember about people from your childhood. Totsi read the Bible every morning. And she had so many verses memorized. I was literally just talking to my aunt about this yesterday. I'm pretty sure she had the entire Bible memorized. She was a child of the Depression, and I remember her trying to get me to eat Spam, which I was like not at all interested in. She had a garden in the backyard, and when I was a kid, I thought that the backyard, it was like the longest trip to go to the garden, you know? And then as an adult, I realized at that house, it's really like not even as far from here to the doors. Like it was just literally the backyard. It just felt like a journey. But she would grow beans, and we would sit on the porch and snap the beans. And she grew tomatoes, and she would like eat the tomatoes fresh sliced with just a little bit of salt on them. And so in the summer, I would come down here because I didn't grow up here, if you didn't know that. I claim Atlanta, but I did not. I grew up in Maryland. But I would come down here, spend some time with Totsi, and I would go to VBS. I don't have a lot of specific memories about the crafts we did or the stories, but I very much remember being at VBS, and I remember this one song about the fruits of the Spirit, which is how I can name all the fruits of the Spirit, which is really handy. I can also name, not from VBS, but from school, all 50 states in alphabetical order, also because of a song. So these things are handy, and they're the things that stick in my head. As I've started volunteering at VBS, and as an adult, my relationship to VBS has changed. And I think now that the stories are the best part, because you kind of get like the greatest hits of the Bible. So this week, our kids learned about God going with Jacob, about Ruth choosing to go, young Jesus sharing wisdom, and Jesus calming the storm. Those are all like classic Bible stories, right? And then we get to the story for the fifth day, our scripture for today, which I don't think it's that well known. At least it wasn't for me. I mean, if you had asked me, name the top 20 stories in the Bible, Philip and the eunuch from Ethiopia would not be on that list, okay? If you had asked me 2 weeks ago to tell you the story of Philip and the eunuch from Ethiopia, I am not sure I could have done that. And here's the thing. I've read the Bible more than once, and I'm really, really sure that this story is in every version of the Bible that I have read, and yet it just didn't stick, right? So I got to thinking, why is it in VBS curriculum, and what can we possibly learn from it? So the theme of this week at Camp Firelight was trust, one of my favorite words, which is tattooed on my arm. Also surrender, so thank you, Luke, for surrendering today, trust and surrender. The camp call out or guiding verse was Psalm 56:3, and the kids said this over and over throughout VBS. Whenever I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. So each day the kids heard a story about trusting God. They started on Monday with the story of Jacob. Now, you probably remember this story. It is in the greatest hits. So Jacob tricked his father into giving him the blessing that belonged to his brother Esau. And Esau got real mad about that. And so Jacob took off on a long journey. And that was a journey that he trusted God to go on with him. So that day's theme was trust God to go with us. On Tuesday, the story was about Ruth, also a classic Bible story. Ruth followed her mother-in-law Naomi from Moab to Bethlehem, another long journey. There are a lot of long journeys in the Bible, and everything took a really long time because they walked everywhere, and there was no GPS, so they have to know, like, what road to take. I can't imagine. I would get so lost. But Naomi trusted God to lead the way, and Ruth learned that trust from her. So that was day two's theme, trust God to lead the way. On Wednesday, the campers jumped into the New Testament. Classic story from Luke about that day that Jesus' family accidentally left him in the temple. Y'all remember this? Have you ever, I mean, parents, we can be real here. Have you ever left your kids somewhere? Yeah. My parents left me at church once. Mom thought dad had me. Dad thought mom had me. Nobody had me. So this happened to Jesus, right? And they, this whole group of people travel out after temple, and a couple days into the journey, because there is a whole group of people, they realize, we don't have Jesus. So they go back to get him, and Jesus said, didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? Now that is what I'm coining a new phrase. I'm calling it a Jesus riddle. And we see them throughout the Bible. So in this moment, his parents and later the disciples, like, had to, that Jesus would say these things, he would speak in these parables, and they would be like, I have no idea what you mean. And even me today, like, you know, I read the Bible, and sometimes I'm like, what is he actually saying there? So that leans into that theme for day three. Trust God to share wisdom. Even when we haven't figured out yet what Jesus was talking about, what we can know is that there is wisdom in what he's saying. So then on Thursday, it was the story of Jesus calming the storm, which I like to call the story of Jesus taking a really good nap. Because they were out, they were crossing this lake, Jesus and the disciples in a boat, and this big storm comes up, and Jesus is asleep. He's getting some really good sleep. I'm sure he was tired. He had a lot going on all the time. The disciples are freaking out, right? Because this storm, and they think it's going to capsize the boat and all of that. And they finally get Jesus to wake up, and Jesus goes to the edge of the boat and just tells the storm, be still. And it was. No muss, no fuss. The storm just stopped. So that day's theme was trust God to give us peace, because whatever storm we're in the middle of, God has peace for us. So that brings us up to our story for today. And again, I wonder, why is this the grand finale? Why did Cokesbury even put it into this VBS curriculum? Like, I mean, there's a lot of good stories in the Bible, right? So what is this one about? This story comes from the book of Acts. So this is after Jesus had ascended into heaven. And while the apostles were doing all they could to spread his teachings. And this, it's the early days of the church, right? Like the church is just being established. So the camp firelight theme for the day and this story is trust God to spark joy. Now here's my question. When Emily read that scripture, did any of you immediately go, oh, that's a story about joy? Right. You got to dig a little deeper. Like, it's not necessarily obvious on the face of it. So first, as we dig in, it's important to know there are two Philips at this time, okay? There's Philip the evangelist and Philip the apostle. If this is new information for you, or if you're confused, don't worry, you're in very good company. People in the early church were also confused about which Philip was which. Philip the apostle is one of the 12 disciples. He appeared most prominently in the Gospel of John. He was possibly at the wedding at Cana and was at the Last Supper with Jesus before he was crucified. Philip the evangelist, that's our Philip for today, is one of the seven deacons, along with Stephen, you might remember Stephen, who appear in the book of Acts. Now, the deacons, seven deacons, they were leaders elected by the early church to minister to the community of believers in Jerusalem, to enable the apostles to concentrate on prayer and the ministry of the word, and to address a concern raised by Greek-speaking believers about their widows being overlooked in daily ministry. So essentially what happened in the early church is they needed to get some things done, and they formed a committee, right? We all love a good committee. This is maybe, I don't know, don't quote me on this, ask somebody who's actually a minister, but this might have been the first sign of a committee formed in the Bible, all right? So Philip, the evangelist, our Philip, he's out and about one day, and an angel speaks to him and says, hey, Philip, you should go to this place. Now, if you've read the Bible, you know, as Philip knew, when an angel of the Lord speaks to you, it's good to listen. It's good to do what they recommend. So he heads out to this place, and when he gets there, he finds an Ethiopian eunuch reading a passage written by the prophet Isaiah. So Philip asks the eunuch if he understands what he's reading, to which he responds, how can I unless someone explains it to me? Now, this is our first moment of joy in this story, because the eunuch invites Philip to come and sit with him and explain the text to him. Have you ever had someone ask you to share about your faith? Have you ever had someone say, hey, I want to hear about this good news that you're talking about? If you have, then you know that that is an incredible feeling. When a person says, I want to understand this faith you have and this God you worship, and who is this Jesus anyway? And you get to sit down and tell them all about it. It's pretty cool. So Philip's having a pretty good day, right? Like, he's getting to share about his faith. He had a nice chat with an angel of the Lord, met a guy who wanted to, like, know more about Jesus. I mean, that is not bad for your average Tuesday. But then it gets even better, because they continue traveling down the road, and they see that body of water, and the eunuch asks to be baptized. Now imagine, you just met somebody, you've just shared your faith, and then you come upon a body of water, and they say, hey, I want to be baptized. I want to follow Jesus. I mean, talk about some joy. Whenever a person, young or old, is baptized, it is a beautiful day. And this day that Philip had, what an awesome day it was. It was a joyful day. And now we know why the story is in Campfire Light. We know why it's in VBS. To illustrate the idea that we should trust God to spark joy. We could leave it at that. That's kind of like the VBS in a nutshell version of it. But here's the thing. We have a lot of grown-ups in the room, and so for y'all, we're going to dig a little deeper. Because we need, as we grow and mature as Christians, not just to read our Bibles, but to study them. The Bible is one of the ways that we communicate with God. It's one of the ways that we know what is in God's heart and what God wants us to have in our hearts. So let's dig deeper into this moment with Philip. Let's see what we can find that we might be able to carry with us into our life this week. Trust God to spark joy. I was thinking last week about some of my favorite songs that are about joy. I love There's Joy in the House of the Lord. I love Joy Still Comes in the Morning. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. That's a VBS classic, right? Google says that the word joy and its derivatives appear in the Bible 242 times in the New International Version translation. And some of these verses are really good. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Luke 15:7, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And the way I learned that song, it was second, right after love, which is also the way it's listed in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. 242 times. The word joy and its derivatives appear 242 times in the Bible. Do you know how many times the word happy or happiness appears in that same translation? About 20. That is less than a tenth of the number of times that joy appears. So what's the difference between those things? And what are we focused on in our lives? Merriam-Webster's top definition of joy is the emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. Their top definition of happy is favored by luck or fortune. There's a common belief in biblical circles these days that there is something deeper than joy than there is in happiness. Happiness is fleeting. It requires happy circumstances for luck or favor to come to you in a moment. But happiness is also a staple of our culture. When you change jobs, people ask, hey, how do you like the new position? Are you happy? There's a book I saw on Amazon over the weekend called 500 Things to Be Happy About. And there's even workshops, I'm telling you, you can Google it, they're out there, of how to help improve your happiness. But the happiness feels to me like it's all on the surface. It's a state of being for a moment. It might come from a good meal or a good song or some other circumstance that makes you, for a minute, happy. But joy is deep. Joy exists in your soul. Joy sticks around even in the midst of troubles. People that have true joy, they radiate it. They glow with it. It is deep, deep, deep down in them. It is rooted in them, but it can't stay hidden. It bubbles up and it bubbles out. So how can we get some of this joy? Sure, we might have a good day like our friend Philip did. But Philip didn't get to that day out of the blue. His joy, that good day, was a direct product of his faith in Jesus. Philip listened when the angel of the Lord told him to go to that place. And he openly shared his faith with an Ethiopian eunuch. Let's talk about that guy for a minute. In the time of this particular story, Ethiopian meant anyone who was dark-skinned, not specifically a person from what in 2024 we know as Ethiopia. So, just to clarify everything, this is a story about Philip the evangelist, not Philip the disciple, and a dark-skinned man who is called an Ethiopian but is not from Ethiopia. Okay? Clear? Yes? The man is also a eunuch. Depending on the translation you read, he's referred to as the eunuch from Ethiopia or the Ethiopian eunuch. It is an interesting level of detail to record about this encounter. We don't know this man's name, but we know that he was a dark-skinned eunuch, and what a eunuch meant in that day, there are a lot of ways that it happened. You can read all the commentaries on it. But what a eunuch meant was a man who could not have children. So why is it important? Wouldn't Philip's story be just as good if he had shared his faith and baptized any other person? It's important because Philip was following Jesus' example. This Ethiopian eunuch would not have been allowed to worship in the temple according to Old Testament law. And we know that he was just coming back from Jerusalem on his way home from worshiping in the temple, because it says that in the scripture. That's huge. For us, it might sound like, oh, that's just where he was coming from. They're setting up the story. That's just an orienting backstory detail. But for this person, prior to Jesus, he wouldn't have been allowed to worship in that temple. And he was. Here's a person who's ranked very highly in society, but his dark skin and inability to procreate made him a religious outcast twice over. He was on the fringe, on the outskirts, a person who is exactly like the people that Jesus ministered to. This raises some important questions for us in our lives. Are you listening? I mean, not to me right now, although it seems like most everybody's still awake, and so that's a good thing. But are you really listening in a deeper sense? If an angel of the Lord or the Holy Spirit or a burning bush showed up, would you know? Are you ready to share your faith? Now, I have taken that inventory of gifts on the Methodist Conference website, and evangelism is not one of mine. So I am the last person who's going to say, hey, you should go out and stand on the street corner and talk about your faith. But what if somebody asked you, a colleague or a friend or someone in the grocery store, if they asked you about your faith tomorrow, what would you say? And what if that person were an outsider? What if the question you got about your faith was from someone that you wouldn't normally interact with? Somebody that maybe made you a little uncomfortable? Could you get uncomfortable for God? Because I'll tell you something. Sharing our faith with the people in this room is a wonderful and important thing. We need that to grow. We need that to keep us strong. We need that to stay accountable to each other. But the Great Commission in Matthew 28 was for us to go and make disciples of all the nations, not hang out with other Methodists you know and talk about the shared faith that y'all have. Philip has what I picture as an afternoon of joy, talking and sharing the gospel with this outsider who is eager to learn, eager to follow, and eager to worship, which he's finally allowed to do in this post-Jesus world. Jesus was the source of the joy that day. And he is the source of joy, true joy, for each of us. There is no hurt in you that he cannot heal. There is no hole inside of you that anything else can fill. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And I promise you, every day that you spend walking with Jesus and holding his hand will be a good day, even when it's not. So take some time this week to listen. Hear what you're being called to do. Think about whether you're equipped to share your faith. And if you're not, what do you need to get equipped? And here's my big challenge to you. Do something nice for someone who makes you uncomfortable. Trust God to spark joy. In John 16, 22, Jesus said, so also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. No one will take your joy from you. Jesus promised us that. And he always keeps his promises. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the joy you bring into our lives. We thank you for all that we're able to learn from your words and your scripture. Be with us this week as we each try to take the next step in our faith. Help us each find a moment to bring some joy into someone else's world. I pray this in your son's holy name. Amen.